He said, imitate me as I also imitate Jesus Christ. We talking about Paul the Apostle? Yes, we are. Very interesting today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We're discovering the Word of God, the most important book of all. Today, we're in 1 Corinthians 11. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. These are all good through here. So stay tuned. We're going to do that in about 3 minutes' time. Corey and Ryan are here. Corey?
I'm talking 1 Corinthians 11 and the issue of head coverings in church. Ryan?
Today, Paul helps us unravel an Old Testament mystery.
All right. Very good. Yeah, that's going to be good. Head coverings. I love that in church. Excellent. Okay. Janice, what are you doing?
The family and fellowship of God.
All right. So take your Bible guide. If you don't have one, stay there. I can get one in a moment. Let's open it up. Let's open up the most important book of all, the Bible, and listen to what God is saying to us.
First Corinthians 11, 1 through 12. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For man, indeed, ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 12.
You know, it's important to remember that the world itself is very confusing. In fact, this modern world we live in today is seriously confusing. And that's strange, considering this is the time we live in a place of a lot of communication. Our culture is completely driven by what a person feels versus reality, tangible reality. We believe that reality changes based on what we feel. We need only to look at modern ideas swirling around the transgender issue to see this. If someone believes that they are in the wrong body, then they are. They can get a doctor and alter their healthy body to align more with their feelings. Feelings change. We're told that it's not about what we are physically, it's about who we think we are. And so we change our physical. And the confusion continues. Well, in the kingdom of God, we believe that our creation was overseen by the creator of all things. With this framework, we have eternal value and purpose. Our life now is important, and it will continue to be so in eternity. Discomfort in the here and now will not remain forever. In our reading today, God speaks to us through the Apostle Paul, who was living in a very different time. He will teach us that the roles of men and women are different, but their value is the same. Now, that's unique, but let's explore this passage because it's really important. A lot of people have said to me, well, you know, the Bible is an old book in the past full of fables and everything else. But actually, we're going to learn today the Bible's very relevant today and right now, and it's not a book full of fables. It is the Word of God, who is the author of the Bible through the individual 40 authors. Very interesting. Now, let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's officially, if you don't have a Bible guide, call us or write to us, or go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. We'll send you a Bible guide, or you can get one, download one. And if you go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, that's our website. Just get there, and it'll take you to the place you can download it, just like we printed it. Very, very important. Let's pray. Father, we're going to study chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. And we've isolated 3 points. Help us to hear you. Now, Lord, we tried our best to make those 3 points what you've told us. But I'm sure there's others, and the people who are watching and the wonderful people who are listening will also hear things that your Holy Spirit is saying. So open our hearts and minds to hear your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And we said together, amen. Now, beloved, turn to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Very important. Here's what it says. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. You see, Paul begins with a statement, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. True Christians live to imitate and follow Christ. True Christians don't live to imitate and follow somebody else. They don't live and imitate to imitate somebody famous. They live to imitate Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, let me tell you, did not come as a media mogul or an economic powerhouse or $1 billion a year person or a wealthy that person or politically correct. He came as a simple carpenter. And he taught us the reality of who God is. This is God. The Lord is amazing. All right, now let's read on. Paul says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the tradition just as I delivered them to you. Verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And every man, praying or prophesying, having his head covered, disobeys his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to not cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man, nor was man created for woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. This is the point that Paul makes from the beginning. God has given authority for his reasons, for God's reasons. Christians must submit their own opinions to the Word of God. Now listen, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and it was all about, you know, women are going to rule this and rule that and rule over. And look, I don't have any problem with equality at all, but it's important to recognize what the Bible says. The Bible talks about the reality of the roles. The roles are different. The equality is the same, man, woman, Jew, Greek, Galatians 3, it's all the same. We are all equal. Very important. So let's keep that in mind. I'll let you wrestle with that so you can hear what God is saying. All right, let's go on to the next passage of Scripture, which is verse 11. This is interesting. Nevertheless, it says, neither is man independent of woman. This is important to listen to, men. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. Nevertheless, I'm going to read that one more time, verse 11. Neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man comes through woman. But all things are from God. Do you hear what he's saying? This is really important. God has created men and women. He is the creator. We cannot exist without each other. It is impossible to exist without each other. We are equal to each other in value, yet our roles are different. I'm sure that I'll get letters on this. Well, I don't believe it. You didn't believe that. And most of the letters will come from people who've had bad experiences. But let me explain something. When we allow Jesus Christ to shift our thinking and we begin to think with the mind of Christ as the Lord begins to think or begins to teach us, then we understand what this means. As we learn these roles, men, as we learn these roles, women, we become people who imitate the kingdom of God. Now, that's the most important thing, to work for the kingdom of God. We're not working to make ourselves, you know, all the best and all the greatest. We're working for the kingdom of God. That's really important. So, Father, help us today. Help us to hear what your word says. Help us to know what your word says. And help the men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. He gave his life for us. Really important. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name. And we said together, amen.
All right, well, today our reading is 1 Corinthians chapters 11 to 12. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because in this passage, Paul actually sheds light on an Old Testament mystery found in Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20. So let's take a look at that. Moses, the man who had bravely and faithfully led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years, tragically died at the age of 120, though not from natural causes. As the Bible explains, when Moses perished, his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. Instead, the cause of his death was supernatural, for God had put an end to his life after a serious error on his part. As Numbers 20:1 through 13 explains, God had commanded Moses to speak to a rock in order to bring forth water for the people who were grumbling against him and Aaron. Now, this wasn't the first time God had provided water out of a rock for his people. Earlier in Exodus 17, God instructed Moses to strike a rock to bring forth water from it. But this second time around, Moses was only supposed to speak to the rock. But in his anger, he struck it instead, as he had done the first time. For this, God sentenced the beloved leader to an early death. Now, while we may not see any reasonable cause for such a severe punishment, there are at least two and maybe three reasons for God's righteous anger. First, for Moses' disobedience. Moses disobeyed the Lord by hitting the rock twice instead of speaking to it. And second, for his arrogance. Moses had arrogantly suggested that he and Aaron, not the Lord, had brought forth the water. But there might be a third reason. As the Apostle Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 10, the physical rock represented the spiritual rock, that is, Jesus Christ. It's possible, then, that the two episodes with the rocks were supposed to be foreshadows of the two episodes of Christ, namely the first and the second comings. The first rock, like Christ at his first coming, was smitten and the people benefited with living water. But the second rock was not supposed to be smitten, as Christ will not be smitten upon his return. If this is the case, then by striking the second rock, Moses ruined the image. His death truly was a devastating blow to Israel, and it was the end of an era. But God promised them that in time he would raise up another prophet like Moses, one even greater in fact, to bring them into a new era. And significantly, the next time we see Moses is on another mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, with that very prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so as Paul pointed out, the rock in the wilderness represented Jesus Christ. So when Moses struck the rock a second time, he ruined the image. So for that, God punished him.
Very interesting. Ryan and everybody, this is the calendar for next year. It's a 2026 calendar. Inside the month of February, for example, all the months are in here, but this picture is awesome. And when in 1991, I went to Israel and I swam in the Red Sea and I snorkeled. It was awesome. Pictures from Israel all through this. Also, the reading assignments for every day is right there. That's the 2026 calendar for $35. Make sure you write for yours and get a hold of yours right away because they're limited in how many we have. Okay.
You have to request it.
So you have to request it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ask for it. The calendar. The wall calendar. Okay. Cora, you're up.
All right. Well, I get a lot of questions in my personal life and also through Bible Discovery about interpreting 1 Corinthians 11 and Paul's conclusion that married women, when they are praying and prophesying in church, in a church service, should cover their head. I get a lot of questions on, well, why don't modern churches do this? Should modern churches do this? I know some traditions definitely still do, but I thought we should jump into it today, you and I a little bit. Now, the religious traditions in the area of Corinth and surrounding areas, they varied when it came to head coverings for men and women. So sometimes men covered their heads, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes women covered their heads, sometimes they didn't. So there may have been really honest questions coming from the Corinthian church to Paul on how should we as Christians order our Christian services here? And because of that, we have to understand, I think, how head coverings were seen generally in the general population of the area. And luckily we do know that because of historical research. So here's a few things that we know. In ancient Greek literature, women's hair was an object of lust, really interestingly. So in much of the ancient Mediterranean world, not all of it, but in much of the ancient Mediterranean world, married women would cover their hair once they were married as a sign that they were off the market. They were saving their hair for their husbands. To uncover your hair as a married woman was seen as trying to provoke the lust of other men, trying to get lustful male attention. But there were some women who were exempt, some married women who did not veil their hair. And that was the upper class Roman women. They did not veil their hair. They decorated their hair. They braided it. They put gold in it. They put gems in it. It was the high fashion of the ancient Mediterranean world. And this seeped into much of the Mediterranean world with the expanding of the Roman Empire, of which Corinth and the early church was definitely a part of. So in the upper class Gentile societies, you see married women not veiling their hair. Now, house churches, then imagine this. So we've got the middle and lower classes, married women are veiling their hair. The upper classes, married women are not veiling their hair. House churches kind of blurred these societal lines because house churches happened in very large homes, which were owned by wealthy people who the women, generally speaking, are not veiling their hair. But you've got lower class, middle class, and upper class families there. And so we've got a mix of expectations here at what's going on. So you could see how there would be some conflict over the women who do veil their hair, looking at these upper class women who are praying and prophesying, being like, are you trying to, like, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to provoke the lust of my husband? And you could see how this would be a really, really big issue. Now, we know that Paul says that married women, when you're praying and prophesying in church, it is wisdom for them to veil their hair as a sign of their marriage. But verse 7 to 10 of 1 Corinthians 11 lets us know that the issue at play here isn't just a cultural one, because the Apostle Paul points back to the order of creation, how Adam was created first and then Eve. And Adam and Eve lived in a different culture altogether. But it's still the truth that's there impacted Corinthian culture in that head coverings for married Greek women speaking in church was an appropriate thing to do. It was a wisdom. It was symbolic of them honoring their marriages. So what's the underlying issue here that Paul is pointing back to? Wives, we strengthen our husbands. We don't take away from them. This is a cross-cultural truth, whether you're Adam and Eve, whether you're living in Corinth, or whether you're living now. Eve was created as a helper to Adam. Helper does not mean slave, servant. That is not what it means. It is an additive to. It is a strengthener to man. When the word helper is used of someone in the Old Testament, it's actually most often used of God in his relation to humanity. Wives' relationships to their husbands is one of strengthening their husbands. We're better as a team when God puts us together as a team. You don't have to get married as a Christian, but that's a whole other issue for a whole other day. But in putting the marriage contract in a questionable spot by not veiling their hair, were the upper class women strengthening or weakening their husbands? This is what the Apostle Paul was challenging them to think of. And he was telling them the answer. He's saying that wisdom is to veil your hair when you're speaking in church, when you're praying or prophesying publicly. Now, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 11 says that they should do this because of the angels. This is really interesting to me. Be wise because of the angels. Veil because of the angels. Corinthian wives seem to be being urged by Paul here to make wise decisions because one day Paul has already told them early in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 6 specifically, one day they will judge the angels. So don't be wise in the future when you judge the angels. Be also wise now because you're going to judge them one day. May it be a full testimony of being wise before God and all of the witnesses. So that's what I would say about the head coverings. And does anyone have anything that they
want to say? That's fascinating stuff. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well done. Well done. Excellent.
Well, and to, just to further this point, this has been the struggle for many years, isn't it? With a lot of people thinking that between husbands and wives is some type of a competition. Mm-hmm. And the enemy, I'm talking about Satan, would like nothing better than to put a wedge in between husband and wife, because it is to represent our relationship with God. And so how tragic then when we allow the enemy and cultural ideas to seep in, and it does take away, we think we're so smart, but what we need is the wisdom of God in these things. And a lot of times it can get caught up into cultural things or one versus another. And God is the great equalizer.
Yes.
The value of a woman and a man is no different to God, but he does have specific roles and things that he has called us to. And one is not above the other, but when it works together, it's amazing. It really, truly is amazing. And this is what we need to stop and have that kind of wisdom, to ask these kinds of questions. There's nothing wrong with asking those kinds of questions and seeing what exactly was being presented here, because we could take it in a very other way. And it has been taken in another very different way as well. So we need to understand and put the Bible into its context and ask God to help and teach us. And this is where my segment was going to go today, sort of, in the family and fellowship with God, because this whole chapter in 1 Corinthians is talking about the instructions for public worship when the people gather together in the homes, in church, in fellowship. And Paul talks about head coverings. He talks about conduct at the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And at the end, he's talking about examining yourselves before you take the Lord's Supper, because all of these things were very important to the early church and still need to be important to us. We need to come to the house of God, not for our own good. I'm hoping that I'm articulating this properly. So you here at the table, listen to what I'm saying. It's not that we are coming to the house of God for our own good. We need to come to the house of God with honor and respect of God. And what we come even dressed in needs to be thoughtfully done, because we're going to the house of God. And that might mean I might have just rags. God wants me to come to his house. I might have something that's, you talked to Corey about the women, the upper class, and their hair was all done, and other women couldn't do that. It's still the same in this culture. Mm-hmm. Our hearts need to be right. It's not what you have on, it's what's in your heart when you come before God. Come to honor God. Come to serve others, to love others as yourself. We need to live to follow Christ Jesus. We need to confess our sins. We need to repent to him. We need to make ourselves right and be the light and the salt in this world. Am I articulating that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And table here. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Sure. And it's really important that we think about this today when going to church is something that people have to consider when they dress. Thank you for joining us today. It's been great exploring this passage of Scripture, isn't it? Let's pray together, all of us. Lord, teach us to be helpful in our thinking and reason as well. We're going to follow you. So help us to do that, Lord, with the help of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we said together, amen. Now, if you're in Canada right now, we're in a mail strike. Call us or write to us or go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. And we can help you get everything you need to get.